Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We should, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
That's where we, shut,
cram
you,
it!
Shut up right now!
For
you
God's
shut,
sake!
I swear to God, I will go over the...
You!
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi there, welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth, and that there is Rex Hupke, and we're both a little crabby today, so who knows how this is going to go. We're having some trouble today.
Usually,
we came in the door, we usually are like, hey buddy, what's up, how are you? Yeah, this is some dumb shit that happened, but this week we're both like, we've got like storm clouds over our heads, totally unrelated to each other, we're good, it's just everybody else that we want to blow up and kill. And
this one may go south. May have gone south already. We don't know.
I mean, just, this one might just like...
Fasten your seatbelts, folks.
This one might just devolve into a bunch of crying here at any minute.
Nice.
Well, happy Halloween. I hope everybody did something fun. Was the Hupke household aglow with...
It was nuts, let me tell you.
Did you see my Instagram pumpkin?
No, I did not. I'm sorry.
Well... I never mind that it's a household of one, and I'm a crazy cat lady minus the cats. I just bought a little tiny pumpkin, and I have a bunch of weird knives left over from my chef days, and so
Prior to the leftover from my chef days, that sounded really weird.
I do. I have a lot of weird knives.
I have a lot of weird knives.
From like, you know, intricate sushi set kind of knives all kind of weird knives. So I got out like a couple of them and just started messing with this little pumpkin.
Yeah.
I got out a hammer and like tapped some nails through it to make holes because I don't cut the top. I cut the bottom off and set it over a candle and just made all these crazy little designs. At first I was like, oh, it's an eyeball. No, it's just vines and weird stuff. I don't know. So I made this weird ass pumpkin I put on Instagram. That's what I did. Watch some scary movies.
I will check it out. Mm-hmm. If you want to get a sense of where the humor lies in the Hupke household.
Yeah.
We usually pair up with our kids and do it, and so
like a family costume sort of situation.
No. It's pumpkins. Pumpkin
carving.
Oh, I see.
Okay, we're just on the pumpkins.
So two pumpkins, you know, two people per pumpkin. So I was with the older one, and
it's a tandem thing.
Our pumpkin had a natural butt crack. It was just there.
So you can't leave that alone,
right? And I you know got like to my like great. Paternal joy. It was the boy who pointed that out and
hey,
was
Dad,
like,
it looks well, like a butt.
Yeah, so we did a face on one side that was like looked real squishy, kind of like
constipated pumpkin.
Yeah, and then the other side we had pumpkin coming out the butt, so like pumpkin guts coming out the butt. It was fantastic. And then we wrote, just to make sure that everybody knew what it was.
Sure.
We wrote the words poop on the back and carved those out. And then he named it Ken, so it's Poop Ken. Yeah. So there you go. Highbrow, as always, at the Hupke domicile.
What was the other pumpkin?
Actually, it was really cool. It was like they did like a prison kind of, like, it was like crisscross, you know, pattern.
Wow. But,
you know, and then there were they put little pumpkins on sticks inside, so it looks like all these little pumpkins are staring out from behind the bars.
A statement on abolishing prison.
Yeah, exactly. It was a big way of speaking out against incarceration rates in our country.
That's good. I appreciate the Hupke household for doing that.
So pooping, poop face, squinty poop face, and statement.
Abolish prison.
Yes.
Great. Done. Okay. Well, that's our good segue into politics. Mm. Mine is that it's November 1st, and so that means open enrollment is happening. And because I have 9 jobs, I'm not on a group plan, you know, and so I just, you know, am going to get that. There was crying getting on that. It was pretty great.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous what anybody has to pay and has to go through. I mean, even if you are on a group, I mean, it's still a lot of money.
Even then,
not that it's anything to, I mean, I'm by no means complaining at all, because it's not even in the realm of not being on a group plan. But still, you know, what we pay is insane. The prices we pay for drugs are insane. I mean, just aspects of this.
And that's
the
thing. Like, I got to be pretty fucked up to even take an Advil.
Mm-hmm.
And like, everything is prioritized about drug coverage.
Right.
I'm like, I'm not about the drugs.
Yeah.
And I'm only going to go if I'm really sick or really hurt.
Right.
So I actually was sitting there going like, well, I mean, the tax penalty is only like a premium and a half, so why don't I just do that? Mm-hmm. Why don't I just not do this?
Yeah.
And then it's like if I fall on the ice and break my wrist, I declare bankruptcy. Right. That's where we're at.
Yeah, which is nuts. I mean, no
way to make people feel insignificant.
Right. And also, I mean, we're talking about a lot of people do what you do. I mean, a lot of people now are working multiple different things, and that's a good thing. I mean, that's good for the... You know, I think that sort of diversity in what people do and the way they use their talents is a net positive. But if you're making it hard slash impossible for them to do that because they can't have decent health care, then that's a real problem. It just on the way in, actually, this is kind of tangent from that a little bit. But I was reading a Reuters story about these miners in Pennsylvania who are not taking because they believe that Donald Trump is going to bring coal back. They're not taking advantage of retraining programs that are being offered. Like they're only able to fill like 20% of their classes that they have for all of these different retraining things in like hundreds of different areas, you know, where they can try to help people find new paths and stuff. So, A, those people, frankly, I don't know what they're thinking. I think that's crazy. But they're also going to wind up screwed. And if you can retrain people and get them going, they may have to work multiple. I mean, you know, like they look at it and like, well, how am I going to find something that compares to my coal mining job? It's like, well, you may not. You may have to work multiple things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that may suck to you, but that's maybe the way it is. And in that case, you're probably not going to get group health insurance. So you're going to be helping these people a lot if you can give them health insurance so that they don't have to worry about that part of things. And it's just, it drives me absolutely crazy because it is, you know, people talk about it as a basic human right, and I agree with that. And I think it's just insane what we're doing.
And then when you, like, get into the plans and it's like, compare plans and look at details and it's like, excludes all kind of, like, preventative, you know, it was like, excludes everything below my waist. And it was like, well, look, I can't help that I'm female and I got to deal with that. So what would you like me to do?
Right. Yeah.
Because you're not going to, I know you're not going to pick up the check if I just decide I'm going to have some, like, reassignment surgery or corrective, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm not gonna, if I decide I need to live as a man, you're not gonna pick up that tab. So,
no.
But being a woman, I'm gonna have to pay more. And, like, I'm so infuriated that my blood pressure is so high that I probably need drugs just for that,
even though
I don't even take anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I have allergies to so many things. Like, I'm allergic to a lot of pain medication. So, like, when I do get hurt, I just have to kind of, like, tough it out. So, it's like, I don't need your dipshit prescription coverage. Some people do, I don't.
Right.
Like, give us options here. Mm-hmm. And I'm so irritated right now.
Well, and that's the thing, too, because I mean I've defended Obamacare a lot, but I've always said that it is very flawed.
It's flawed.
And the
because it makes assumptions on what you value.
Right. Yeah. And the time that we have spent over, you know, what so I guess it's like 8 years now, a full 8 years pretty much since it came into action, that in that time so much could have been done to improve it in ways that would make both ideologies happier, I think. You know, people from both sides. I mean, you're never going to fully convince.
Nope, I'm ready to burn it down. Single payer, let's burn it to the ground. The end, we're done. Bye. Yeah. Fix it all. Bye.
I think in the end, that's going to be where it's coming from. Because right now, for example, today, I was furious about this. Today, as you said, is open enrollment. The president of the United States is doing nothing to highlight that, nor is our government doing anything to highlight that. Now, had they successfully repealed and replaced Obamacare with something fantastic, as Trump promised,
we wouldn't know it.
If they had done that, then okay, tell us how to get this new thing. But instead, they're not telling anybody about the one thing that still exists. Yeah. And whether you like it or not, that's what it is. You got to help people. You got to encourage people to get on it, or you're just screwing everybody over. So, I mean, they've caused such chaos in the insurance markets just with their, you know, repeated attempts to repeal and all this sort of stuff. It's like, come on. I mean, people are struggling. People are, you know, having to make decisions that nobody should be making, and it's just ridiculous. It makes me very mad.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, I could sell a kidney. It will not cover any health care to extract the kidney, but I could sell it.
Yeah.
And, you know, no, I mean, I'm like kind of joking, but also like I'm sitting here, like this just happened prior to us sitting down to record. So I'm sitting here like really going, okay, 9 jobs, not good enough. Like I need to figure out a 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like behind on everything anyway. So it's just like, what a fucking nightmare all of this shit is.
Yeah, no, so, it is. Where does one go to sell a kidney these days anyway? I don't even know.
I'm sure if I just stand around on a street corner and say that enough, and if I say it into microphones enough, like, yo, anyone need a pretty healthy kidney? I do yoga. What's up?
Maybe there's an app or something.
non-smoker what you need here. I'm sure.
Kidney tinder or something, you know. So, I like the
organ
looks of
matcher.
Well, that kidney looks nice.
Swipe whatever direction you're supposed to swipe on that one.
Hey, and it's only 2 miles from me.
I'm going to take an Uber into that kidney, saw it out of that woman who looks pretty healthy. Oh, she's doing some yoga thing on her Instagram. That's fun. Okay. She seems good. How irritating.
It is.
And like even stuff that, so like I signed up on the bethematch.org for bone marrow donation.
Oh, yeah. Because
I knew someone who was impacted by that. And this man like made this impassioned plea to a group of like, look, my kid needs a bone marrow transplant. If any of you are, I hope that you will consider. And so, of course, we all got up and, you know, got our cheeks swabbed. And it was like, even like if the tiniest thing were to, I mean, mostly of that would be covered, you know, otherwise. But like if something goes wrong there, there are circumstances under which your own insurance would have to cover some parts of that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be able to do that. And the fact that I would be like, well, gee, do I have $1,100 in case this shit happens? Sorry, can't save your kid because even though I'm a, like, that's terrible.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, there are so many kind of basic things that we should just, if we don't have a way to do it, we should be able to swiftly find a way
well,
to do it.
Well, this is, I mean, the simplest way, let's boil this all down to, we hashtag capitalism, put money ahead of human beings.
Yeah.
The fact that someone say, I'm sorry, I would love to give you a kidney or whatever, but I might have a complication, so can't afford it, bye.
Right.
Like, that's terrible. That makes you a bad person, yeah. Really.
Yeah.
If it comes down to like, I don't really have the... I don't have the cash to, you know. But then there's also like, and I got to take time off work. And like,
sure.
I know you and I both know someone who donated a kidney,
mm-hmm.
a former
yeah.
colleague.
Right, right.
And I found out she did that because she was like hobbling around work. And I was like, oh, it was right after the marathon. I was like, oh, did you run the marathon? She's like, no, I donated a kidney. And I was like, why are you here? She said, I don't have any vacation days. And I called HR. It didn't work and it's not legal, but I didn't know. And I called HR and I was like, I don't have anywhere to be and I'm kind of poor. So can I just give her my vacation that's just going to expire? I don't want it.
Yeah.
Like this woman is hobbling around
right.
the office. Can she? And they're like, that's extremely illegal, ma'am. I was like, I'm not trying to say, okay, bye. Thanks. I'm trying here.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but it was just like, that's terrible that she came back. She was back to work like a few days later.
Yeah.
And I, you know, things like that, that's so infuriating that we have to make financial decisions over very human ones.
I agree. No, so. I think it's ridiculous.
Oh, tire
Bob
fire.
Bob Mueller.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
That's good, right? Sort of. Well, not good. I don't like to say good. You know, I don't want to say.
Good is not the word.
Yeah.
It's an interesting development.
Yes. And I don't like, because I do, and you know what? I want to be, and I think we've probably said this to some degree before, but none of this is good. So I mean,
nothing here is awesome.
Right. I completely backtrack the way I framed that. But the...
Like, at this point, good qualifies as... where would you say the line, the bar for good is?
I don't even know about that. But the thing is that I do not want... As much as I dislike Donald Trump and what he is doing to this country, I don't want him... I don't want to find out that he, you know, colluded with the Russians to subvert our democratic process. I don't actually... That is not good for anybody. You know what I mean?
You're saying you would prefer he would be cleared of any wrongdoing.
Well, no. It's just that Yes. I mean, right.
Ideally,
there's
no bad shit to uncover, is
right.
what you're saying.
I don't want to know that the president of the United States colluded with a foreign power. That is not good for this country. There is no reason... there is no way I would cheer for that.
No.
Or say, oh, yeah, nailed him. Because if we get to that point, then we've become a bunch of sick puppies, you know.
Well, I do think there's like some degree of Schadenfreude of there, right? Like around the political spectrum,
sure,
there's some degree of like comeuppance,
yeah.
Bitches, you
which
know?
I mean is okay to a degree, but I mean I think we just have to keep in perspective what we're talking about here. I mean, because these are immensely serious.
Right. There's a difference
things.
Between like enjoying someone's downfall
right.
and like, oh my God, it's true.
Yeah. Exactly. So, and also the other thing, and I'm sorry. You know what? Maybe I'll do this later. It's about Hillary Clinton, and I almost wrote a column about it. I did it like kind of a tweet storm about this because, you know, the pushback immediately. I guess I am going to talk about it now. If that's okay.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're talking about.
Sorry,
we're going here, kids.
I'm just lying right and left.
Can I interest you in a career in politics?
But yeah, but the first response when you write about the Mueller indictments, or you say something about the Mueller indictments, whatever, is you know, man, well, Hillary should, you'll be singing a different tune when they nail Hillary, or they nail John Podesta, or they nail whatever. And you know what? I don't give a rat's ass about Hillary Clinton or John Podesta or any fucking politician, frankly, anywhere. I am not so enamored with any politician that if they committed a crime, I'm going to be rising to their defense. And it's you know, it's proven, there's evidence, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, prosecuted and convicted. I am not going to be standing on the sidelines saying, no, it can't be true. No, not at all. And I don't care. I don't have a statue of Hillary Clinton in my backyard. I don't worship at the altar of Hillary Clinton. I don't care. You know, I simply find that argument so ridiculous, because if that's what you care about, then you don't care about the country. If Hillary Clinton did something, then I want her to be held accountable for it. If John Podesta did something, I want him to be held accountable for it. If Donald Trump did something, I want him to be held accountable for it. And every other idiot in between. So, you know, it sticks in my craw, because I'm just like, you know, it's a dumb argument, and it's an un-American argument, because it's basically saying you only care about your team, which is a ridiculous concept if you actually care about the country.
I mean, it becomes about cronyism more than patriotism.
Exactly. So, anyway, I just needed to get that off my chest. Sorry.
Hey, do you find that when you do a big tweet storm, you're less inclined to write it as a column, or does that just sort of help you map it out?
It helps me map it out, usually. I almost turned that into it. That was like a 13-something part tweet storm, and I almost wrote a column.
I haven't had a good Twitter rant in a while. Yeah. I'm due one.
Yeah, I think that I like it. Some people hate it. I like it, and I find it helpful sometimes. It's helpful for me, you know, in terms of some of the thoughts I'm having in columns and ideas. So I was going to make that a column, because the response was actually very strong to that, really positive. But honestly, last night, and so I was going to do that last night, and I just didn't have the energy. Mm-hmm. I had just written about the Mueller stuff 2 days ago,
yeah.
And some nights I just am like, you know what, I just can't get into the fight. I can't step into the ring right now. I'm just too wiped.
Sure.
So I wrote about Halloween candy.
Well, as one does. Yeah. Well, I find, and this just might be like the difference in our temperaments or something, I lack the mental fortitude to hang on to things long enough, but like once I get in a tweet storm, I'm pretty much done with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes that does fill the gaps when there's something I feel like I should write about, but I don't quite want to write a column about it, and then I'll do that, and then I'll feel like, okay, I got that off my chest.
I let it go.
Yeah, but other times when I see, again, a lot of times it depends on the reaction, because I do.
That's true, because sometimes people will surface something. You're like, that's an interesting point. I'm going to explore that.
Right, yeah.
But most of the time, and this is like my temper interpersonally too, like once I've told you, yo, Rex, I'm mad about this thing that you said to me or whatever, mm-hmm. not that we fight, but you know what I'm saying. Like once I surface the thing and I feel like it was heard and landed, mm-hmm. I'm done. I'm good. I've forgotten all about it.
That's good. That's a good way to be, especially interpersonally. That's a very good way to be.
I'll live forever. Yeah. Oh, probably won't, yeah. On account of the health insurance. I'm not going to let this one go for days.
Wah, wah.
Oh, man, I'm gonna get some mileage out of this, and I'm so mad. So mad about how all that went down. And I'm not even, like, telling the full story, but I'm just like, there's angst around the health insurance today.
You got one foot inside the border of Canada right now, I can tell.
You know, I used to, like, I had a friend that was Canadian, and he was dating a friend of mine who was in the U.S., and they kind of philosophically didn't agree with ever getting married. Mm-hmm. They were just decided, like, eventually one of us will move to the other's country, and we will live together, but we reject the marriage thing. So I was like, so if you guys pick Canada and anything really catastrophic ever happens to me, could we work something out, maybe?
Be sort of a shadow wife.
Yeah, like, I'm cool. I'm pretty quiet. I'm very tidy. I don't need much. We could just, you know, I'll get my broken arm dealt with, and I'll just drive myself back. It's fine. It's fine. I've driven that route. It's fine. It's like 7 hours to the border. It's fine. It's fine.
It's a strong move.
We all kind of laughed, but they didn't really ever give me an answer. So
yeah, right.
Take that as a no.
Oh, boy. Sorry.
Sorry, American wife. No. Anyway.
So the... Yeah, so the Mueller stuff was interesting.
It was.
For sure. And what I really loved about it, in terms of just like in kind of intrigue and legal strategy and stuff, was how they released the two indictments against Manafort and Gates, and they waited long enough for Donald Trump to tweet something stupid.
Yep.
And then they released the plea deal with the George Papadopoulos,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
from Chicago, interestingly, or at least I guess he went to DePaul here.
Yeah,
but,
Chicago connected.
Yeah, so there's a lot of layers there. But that was the.
And how did you feel about Trump's tweet?
Which one? The
Well, that's
right. There were 7,000.
The interim tweets there between.
Yeah, where he said no collusion and stuff. Yeah, I mean, it was a perfect setup because, you know, he's not. I mean, look, Trump's tweet was not wrong. There was nothing in the indictments of Manafort or Gates that mentioned Trump or collusion or the election or anything.
Correct. But it did feel a little like, crap, shouldn't have tweeted that.
Yeah, totally.
You know, you can imagine him going like, ah, damn it.
Yeah. And apparently he also, because then he after the plea deal came out, he referred to the former National Security Advisor, I believe was what his title was. Anyway, the guy's former position, he referred to him as a liar.
And yeah, about that.
That also, I read a couple things from some former prosecutors and stuff saying that that kind of opens him up a little bit even more to trouble because it seems almost like he's trying to intimidate a state's witness, which is bad.
Yeah, which is, as the kids say, bad.
Right. So it's interesting. I mean, this is a... You
know, I found the passport thing, that was fascinating.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, there's always like that. There's always with big, weird stories. There's always it seems like there's one detail that seems so I don't know. I can't get enough of this one detail about it. And the passports, that's my detail.
Yeah,
I think that's so weird. So he currently has 3 U.S. passports, each under a different number, has submitted 10 passport applications in about a decade.
How does one do that? I don't understand even how
that works. I don't understand
how
you do that.
Right. As soon as your passport, I mean, if you apply for another passport, if you're using your same name. And
they'd
social,
be like, no, dummy, you have one.
Right. I mean, or they'd have to cancel the other one out so that it wouldn't be valid if you tried to cross the board. I don't get it.
I need to do a little more research on that because perhaps is there a, I doubt, but is there possibly like a diplomatic one? You know, I don't know. I need to do more research, but that is a detail that I keep going, well, that's a weird one.
Right, right. And that's totally what some innocent person would do is have 3 passports.
And traveling to Mexico, China, and Ecuador with a phone and email account under a fake name. That's totally what an innocent person would do.
Oh, and did you see his email? I thought that was a joke at first, but his email password for one of his accounts was actually Bond 007.
Get out.
No, that was it. Yeah, I thought that was a joke, but then I looked at it and it came out in some of the documents, I guess. So.
Stop.
And honestly, just as a quick aside, I think all of this whole group would help themselves if they didn't all look exactly like the kind of person you would expect to look like if they colluded with Russians. I mean, legitimately, you look at every one of these dudes and you're like, oh, yeah, he's definitely colluding with Russians. I mean, they look gangsters, kind of. You're just like, come on. But there's something just sort of shady anyway.
Bond 007, that's crazy to me.
I know,
because, I mean, not that I really feel like we need to do yet another rant about man children on the show because we're good. That tank is full. But hey, let's have another. It's fine. But really, like this is like boys playing war games. Like this is those very. There needs to be a name for this. I'm sure there is, and I just don't have access to it in my vocabulary or something. But like, there's this type of guy that's like so defensive and so feels so. Easily threatened by everything that he's got to just like puff up and do powerful things that appear powerful in his mind and dominate things. And it's really a problem. But there's so much of that in seats of power that's so laughable. It is so laughable if it wasn't so damn corrupt and really, really, really a problem for all of us. And, I mean, we're talking about threats to national security and major issues that serve as a result of this man-children playing war games.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But really, I mean, I know I've said this before on this show, but there was an Onion headline right after 9/11. And it was like W and Osama bin Laden and a chessboard. And it said, spoiled man children square off on world stage. And I'm like, that's kind of it. That really, truly, I mean, it speaks to the piece of elitism and who can rise to power within any kind of organization or system. Mm-hmm. It speaks to masculine privilege. It just speaks to so much that drives me crazy that I just... Rex, I might jump out the window before the show is over today. Just letting you know.
That's right. I'll follow you.
Just grab an ankle. Try to prevent me from doing that.
Yeah, I think you're right. And what I think is also amusing and what I'm guessing we will continue to see as this goes along is that Trump anybody that was willing to attach themselves to Trump is kind of not the greatest of person and highest of intellect.
Well, it's not a strong career move right,
right
now.
I mean, and you're seeing it because, I mean, I think,
who's they? The administration?
Yeah, the administration and people in the administration. I mean, Robert Mueller is a serious person. I mean, that, you know, he's someone who is, he's a Republican. You know, he's run the FBI. I mean, he's done all kinds of things of great import. He's a serious, serious, smart prosecutor who has surrounded himself with other very intense, very serious people who are good at what they do. Whereas the administration seems to be like kind of a bunch of ham-handed, bumbling, you know, knuckleheads who, as you're saying, are kind of like, you know, have been sort of role-playing throughout right. their lives, that they're this tycoon.
Oh, my God, I got it. The Trump administration is a bunch of LARPers.
LARPers? What's that?
Live-action role-players? Hello.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
LARPers. Don't act like you don't know what LARPing is, like you're not doing that every Saturday in, like, tights in a park. Come on.
I LARP like crazy, man. I know what you're saying.
Did you see, speaking of my Instagram, yesterday at the WGN little gathering at lunchtime, I was wearing a Maid Marian outfit, and my Instagram caption was, "Word up in the Shire, fam." Speaking of LARPing, there was LARPing happening.
There was major LARPing.
Anyway, so that's it. They're LARPers. They're just playing war games. They're LARPers.
That's good. You're
actually
right.
That insults LARPers. I know some fine people that are LARPers.
Sorry. Our apologies to the LARPing community.
I know. Now we got them up our ass, and now we got the LARPers mad.
Right. Although it'll be a funny protest in front. They're walking down Michigan Avenue. A bunch of LARPers protesting us. So,
cute wizard costume, Gary.
Nice. Hey, what's up, Dumbledore?
I swear to God, we just lost like eight of our nine listeners for that. They're like, we LARP.
Sorry, I pissed you off, Chewbacca.
No, it's not. It's like with a game attached to it. It's like D&D plus.
Oh, I thought it was more. Oh, okay, I'm thinking more like cosplay. Sorry, I crossed into cosplay.
No. Cosplay is but the first step to LARPing. Okay. You got to get dolled up, but then you got to go do the things.
So what are they actually like?
Advance with swords and shit. I don't know. Do wizard spell. I don't know. I ain't a LARPer.
You're operating in a whole other level of nerddom that I'm not familiar with. And believe me, I'm plenty nerdy, so that...
I am pro LARPer. I am not a LARPer, but I know LARPers, and I wish them well.
Okay. Yes, me too.
That's my official position on LARPing.
Exactly.
But in the really bad sense of LARPing, in which man-children with wealth and power play LARPy things in a 007 kind of spy games, let's be the big, bad, tough guys that we clearly are not and clearly lack the intellectual capacity to be.
Yeah.
That's what we're dealing with here.
Yeah. So, yeah, and they're screwed, I think, because I think that Bob Mueller, that was what was so striking to me about the rollout of these indictments and the plea deal, was that it was very strategic. It was clearly intended to show, you know, A, we're coming hard at all the financial crap any of you guys have ever done.
Yeah, I'm not here to play. Yeah.
And B, if you cooperate, we're going to be very nice to you because, or a lot easier on you because, you know, the stuff that what did Trump refer to him as, a young volunteer for the National Security Council or whatever? The stuff that he was pleading guilty to was pretty, I mean, lying to the FBI.
That's up there.
And there were other things. Yeah, I mean, it was not good what he had done. And he's, you know, likely, you know, being treated fairly well. But, and also, the other thing that was great was that he's been a proactive cooperator, I believe was the term. In other words, it sounds, based on everything that I have read from experts and stuff, that he was probably wearing a wire. And they arrested him, I think it was in July. So it's been several months. So I feel like there are people in the administration who are just crapping their pants because they're like, oh, hell, what did I say to dude when I talked to him? Oh, my God, he might have been wired. And maybe he wasn't, but, I mean, that's the speculation anyway, and that's based on the language in the plea agreement, it sounds like they were able to use him to get more.
So next steps, in your opinion, or, like, what are your predictions for the week or two ahead?
I think that there's – I think I don't know how quick it's going to go. I mean, as far as week or two ahead, I have no idea.
I think the hunger for it is for it to go very fast. Right. I think people want
but
that.
I don't think. Well,
I don't think it will.
And the other thing too, that I mean, nobody. There was speculation that maybe Manafort might get indicted. Whatever. Nobody saw Gates, Manafort's Mm-mm. business partner, and certainly nobody saw the relatively not that common household name. Security advisor plea deal coming. So that both of those are total surprise, and that shows you that Mueller is running a very, very tight ship, because that none of that, the fact that none of that leaked, the only thing that leaked was that there was an indictment, but as to who, it all stayed quiet until they actually announced it. So he's moving, with seriousness, obviously. I personally think that I bet Donald Jr. is somewhere in the line of fire fairly soon. That's my guess.
Okay. But, like what I said earlier about Schadenfreude, I might enjoy that one a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he just seems like a doofus that should have been out of the way.
Did you see the Halloween tweet he sent?
I did not. I do not follow him.
Oh, God. I don't follow him either, but it got retweeted a million times. He showed, hold on, I'll pull it up so I get the language right. But he's just.
What was the gist of it?
He showed a picture of his kid, like adorable little girl. I don't. She couldn't be more than like 5 or something like that. I don't think, with her bowl of candy mm-hmm. or her bucket of candy.
Sure.
And then he made a joke about socialism, basically.
What?
Anyway, I'll find it. Hang on, it'll take me a minute, but I'll.
To be honest, I was busy with my 9 jobs yesterday and didn't really look at Twitter that much. I sent a couple things, but not much.
Oh, he got absolutely fried on Twitter over it, because of course he. Well,
I'm glad that I did not see that.
Yeah. Oh, he's sick. I mean, it's really like he's a twisted dude, I think. And also
twisted how?
Just I mean, he is exactly what you're talking about in terms of like a LARPing tough guy who just has no. I mean,
I swear we're infuriating the LARPers right now.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. He goes, "I'm going to take half of Chloe's candy tonight and give it to some kid who sat at home. It's never too early to teach her about socialism." And there's the picture. That's an adorable. Little kid, and he's bringing his daughter into.
How is that his offspring?
Yeah, I know.
She's real cute.
Yeah, he's bringing her into to make a political point.
Right.
Also, not for nothing, it's never too early. Early. Jesus. Anyway, that's the least of the issues, really, but it makes me nuts.
It are never too early for spelling. Hooked on Phonics worked for me.
So, you know, but it's like. Okay, A.
And I'd like to go on record as saying. I think it would be fine to take half of the candy and give it to a kid that doesn't have any.
Right.
Because it's maybe like not safe to go out, or they cannot physically get to doors, or I think that's a fine thing to do.
Well, and also
I just like the record to show.
Like, I mean, I don't know what exactly his point was regarding socialism, but
other than he doesn't get it.
Well, and she just went around and got candy from everybody.
Right. Like, she literally just got candy from everyone.
So you're not, I mean, it doesn't even make sense.
And give me that picture again, because those weren't little, those weren't the little snack size. I believe I saw a full-ass double barrel Reese's in there is what I saw, I thought.
Yeah, there might be. Take a look. That might be Skittles, but either way.
Oh, that's the big. Okay, that's Reese's Pieces. Oh, God, he dressed her as a cop.
Yeah, which a lot of people said were like.
Gee, there's so much.
They were like, good to get her used to that because you'll be seeing more of them soon.
She's got a full size Snicker going on in there, I believe.
Nice.
Peppermints? Who gets out peppermints? What kind of lame ass building do you live in?
Yeah.
Neighbors giving out peppermints. Those suck.
That's true. But, you know,
kudos to the people who gave out Play-Doh, who were like, reject Big Sugar.
Oh, wow,
give out,
Play-Doh.
They
That's
have, like, little tiny things of Play-Doh or Silly Putty. I always liked that was kind of fun and cool. I got zero trick-or-treaters.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, is that normal? Do you normally not get them, or is it just
Yeah, that's normal. Because, like, if you live in a building with multi-units, you either have to go park your ass on the stoop or let a bunch of strangers in your building.
Yeah.
And they have to be willing, so you have to like put something on the
here, little girl.
On the security gate, being like, "Security gate number is this. Please buzz up." And then you got to like walk all the way up to the top floor. Like, no, that's not what we're gonna do.
Yeah, that's smart.
So one of my neighbors just put a bucket outside that just said "Happy Halloween" on it, and just like had a bunch of candy in it. And I'm like, good, covered.
Yeah, there you go.
And it was still there this morning. No one touched it.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh wow, I'm surprised. So usually when anybody does that, some dumbass comes along and is like, meh, and just dumps the whole thing in the bag. And runs
No, there are pumpkins all over the street that seem to have been like
smashed. Yeah.
catapulted from somewhere last night. There's that. But yeah, no, there were no trick-or-treaters. That's fine. I watched my horror movies. I chilled. It's all good.
Nice.
Yeah. So she, the little Trump child, what is her name?
Chloe.
Chloe Trump. Little Chloe Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she turns out. I hope she is like the Alex P. Keaton of that family.
Yeah, right.
But exactly. The other direction, you know.
Yeah.
And turns out, right. And she's like, screw you guys, I'm going to Burning Man.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to
smoke
weed for 12 days.
Right. And good for
and nothing but. Actually, and I'm going to be so high and I'm going to live tweet everything.
But you know what? If anybody brought one of the Trump children, little, you know, like even Barron, into something, they'd flip out and be upset. And rightfully so. I don't, you know, I really don't like children anywhere, you know, being brought into these kind of adult issues and that sort of thing. So, but to sort of put your own kid out there, if he wants to post something that's like, hey, here's Chloe, isn't she
cute?
Look
how cute my kid is, fine.
Hey, God bless. I mean, that's good. Whatever. But I mean, that's, you know, everybody does that and good for you. She is cute and that's nice.
But I'd also like to say for the record that if little Chloe Trump would have come to my door last night and said trick or treat, I would have given her something.
Sure.
Because it's not her fault that she was born to that horrible family.
Right. No. I don't. I mean, honestly, I
wouldn't don't take that on the kid.
Yeah.
Don't even bring her into it.
Right.
Why would you do that? There's so much wrong with what he's done here.
Yeah.
And the cop outfit.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, but that was kind of amusing, sort of a twisted way. But yeah, I think he's.
He's a doofus.
Yeah. And Jared, I think Jared could have some problems too. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, the thing is, it's all speculative but what I just want everyone on both sides to let this play out and say, okay, look, this is, I mean, honestly,
did you do something wrong? If so, there needs to be some degree of justice for all involved.
Yeah.
And the end.
And if we can't agree that the guy that's running this investigation is a good person, we will literally never agree on anything because he is a good, smart.
Does it matter if we think he's a good person?
Not a good person in that. No, I mean, a qualified, like he is a qualified person who people on both sides in Congress, people on both sides have praised.
He seems to have a solid reputation.
Yeah, that's what
and
I'm
seems
saying.
To have high trust of his colleagues.
So it's not, in other words, this is not like some partisan nut job who's coming in to run an investigation.
No.
This is a highly qualified prosecutor who I believe, based on everything I've seen and read, you know, believes in the law and, you know, believes in our justice system and all these sorts of things and will be fair and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, what more can you ask for, right? I mean, on either side, what more can you ask for?
I'm enjoying how much the phrase witch hunt is showing up in headlines.
Yeah, I know.
There's that. Really, I was kind of disappointed. In fact, that's probably why I didn't tweet much yesterday, because I, like, logged in early in the morning, and I was like, no one's taking this beautiful moment to talk about witch hunts.
Yeah, seriously.
There's so many opportunities, ladies. We should be doing something with that. Fine. I'm out.
Witch hunt loses a bit of its strength when they start catching witches, which they've now done. So, you know what I mean?
Hey. We can rip on LARPers, but not witches.
Well, I don't mean... No, I'm not ripping on them. I'm just saying in the metaphorical sense.
Sure.
So, I guess warlocks, perhaps, is a better term. Since
how about just douchebags?
Okay.
How about just like...
I can work with that.
Douchebags, non-law-abiding people that seem like they're just really rotten people.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, there you go. I'm fine with that. And you know what else? Honestly, there was something about... I think it was in Politico, maybe. I could be wrong about that. There was something about... One of the pushbacks by hardcore Trump Republicans in Congress, one of the ideas is to try to start another independent investigation to look into Hillary and the uranium and this, that, and the other thing. You know what? If you can find somebody qualified along the lines of Bob Mueller or any, you know, somebody who has that same kind of level of respect, go with God. I would love for you to do that. And if she's guilty, fine. Then hopefully you'll shut up about it. And if she's not guilty, you probably still won't shut up about it, but at least, you know, you've tried again to do that. You know, so I'm so sick of the way she's being used in all of this as a sort of a, not a linchpin, but, I mean, everything goes back to, you know, everything that happens goes, but, you know, but what about, but she did, blah, 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 blah. And again, that is not a defense of her as being a, you know, saintly person of great integrity or whatever. I don't know. I just, you know, but.
Try not to laugh right now, but the TV behind your head, Rex, just had a really bizarre image on it. So we're done.
I wondered what I was
it
like.
Moved.
I was like, is there a
spider? It was like a dude that clearly passed out at a party and had someone wrote on him with Sharpie.
Nice.
And so that was just over your head as you were making that very impassioned point. Sorry. It's like, wow, what's happening right now?
That would be like where that would be good if we did a cartoon of the podcast where they have thought bubbles of what the other person is thinking while the other one is talking.
Yes.
But yeah, it's like enough with the, you know, go get her if she's done something bad. Fine. But just shut up about
it. Stop making noise.
Yeah.
But again, it's kind of what we were talking about a week or two ago. I don't give a damn about intention. I don't give a damn what you think, what you aim to do, what you're gonna do. I have this whole category. I often talk about the gonna people. Mm-hmm. I know people that have been gonna write a book for years. I know people that have been gonna take a trip somewhere. Like, just do it. It actually does not matter what you intend to do.
Right.
All that matters is, did you do it, yes or no? That is literally it. That is all that matters. Not if you were gonna, not if you're thinking about it, not if you're waiting until the time is right or this is perfect. Like, who gives a crap? Just do it or do not. That's it.
Yeah.
And it's with that, too. Like, stop. I'm so done. Like, I tune out when I hear that anymore. I can't even hear that. What I am very interested in right now, though, which I also think is, I feel like I'm kind of, this is interesting because I think this might be a little bit of, at least I'm hoping this rattles some things around a little bit. And that is, speaking of Politico, there's a great piece up about, it is, the headline is Why Facebook and Twitter Can't Be Trusted to Police Themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very, very interesting. There's powerful artwork in the front. It's just like these, you know, three council standing before. It's quite good. That is a really interesting one, because when you really begin to examine privacy concerns and the data trade, that's when suddenly there is a big shift in our thinking about social media platforms, particularly Twitter and Twitter and Facebook. But the other day on the Business Lunch show, I interviewed Max Chafkin from Bloomberg, who wrote about how Snapchat has been able to kind of bypass fake news. And the short answer is they hire journalists and they keep their news area and their personal area very separate. They
don't know that.
Mix it all in. I kind of knew it intuitively, but had never really heard it articulated till I talked with him about it. And it was really interesting. So it's kind of made me go, all right, I'll get my old Gen X ass on back on Snapchat and try my best again with the young people. But
yeah, I've never used Snapchat.
I mean, it's interesting. I find it a little like, it's the user experience is the tricky part, but it's supposed to be, because it's supposed to keep old people like us off of it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like intuitive to young people. Anyway, but I'm doing my best with Snapchat. But having it articulated like that, and his piece on Bloomberg is really interesting. He writes the best stuff. Like, he's a regular on that show because he just writes the coolest stuff. But that one was really, really interesting. And I think there is a lot of there's just a lot happening right now. And I think the Russian ads on Facebook was just the very beginning of it. I think that was just the beginning, because it's like, well, we can't really talk around this anymore and saying, oh, well, just don't share what you don't want out there. And I've been guilty of that myself in years past. I've said, like, well, decide where the line of privacy is. But in fact, really, to me, this is a bigger issue allowing even without our consent, having big tech companies manipulate our emotions and our, not just our decisions, but our emotions. And some people are like, I'm cool with ads being targeted to me. But it's beyond that. It's far beyond ad targeting. It's really about what you're being shown, how you feel about it. I mean, Facebook has admitted to like doing a little tinkering just to see what you would do. I would need to go pull this story up, but it was kind of under the guise of like, we would love to be able to know if you're about to take your own life, which sounds like a noble thing. But in the process, you're messing with me.
Right.
You're showing me things that are intentionally going to piss me off and see what I do next, or depress me and see what I do next, or drive me to this ad because you know that I have X lifestyle qualification or whatever. You know, there's things to it that become quite tricky.
And they reinforce even the bad parts of you.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, I would put Google in there, too, when we're looking at search results that are, if Google believes, I think I said this last week, but like if Google believes certain things about me that it might give me different search results than it would give you. Like if it knows Amy Guth is female versus Rex Hupke is male, we might get different job opportunities served up to us, or mine might have a lower price tag on them, mm-hmm. or if it believes I'm a different race. Like, there's a lot of stuff there that's really irritating. That I've just been churning on that for a week or two now, and it's really been bugging the shit out of me, especially when it's not just about the election. It's like, how dare you try to make a decision for me, especially when we're talking about such a homogenous work culture in Silicon Valley. It is like, you know, here, and I feel betrayed because I'm like, for years I've been saying, you know, this is democratized media in a really interesting way, and it's given voice to people that you don't have to go through the gatekeepers and seats of power. You can write something dynamite on Medium, and if it blows up on Twitter, good for you. You've made your point and spoken your piece, and you've spoken truth to power. I still do believe that, but I also am like, yes, but at the end of the day, a bunch of white guys are running that are extremely wealthy, that the reason this goes further in European courts than it does American courts is simply because of lobbying that we have going on here. And that's so irritating and so frustrating to me, because it's like, well, then we're just kind of hamstrung completely. Mm-hmm. By what here we think there's this kind of like Silicon Valley as this, I think we've this narrative kind of this place to get away from just the Washington seats of power. We can do it ourselves, and it's democratizing. And yes, that's true. But at the end of the day, the man behind the curtain is in fact a very wealthy white guy, mm-hmm. who I'm not saying all. Don't come at me with not all white men. Do not. That's every good. Time I say that, I get a tweet about it. And I don't want to hear that. I'm saying it is important to have diversity in leadership, mm-hmm. not just because it's not just because it's like the right thing to do, but it's important based on the decisions you're making and who's holding power. You cannot just redistribute power with the same dudes holding on to it for dear life.
Yeah.
And when it is threatened, at the first sign of it being threatened, when you see dudes acting out and doing really crazy, dangerous shit, or playing this out on the world stage, acting like with having passwords like 007, mm-hmm. that's personal to me. That's very personal.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to take a breath. You talk now.
Well, I personally am just frustrated that I'm constantly being directed to jobs that involve calf modeling.
Get out of here, Rice Hopkins. Right, they're
wanted
because Google knows
rocking man calves for expose for a popular sporting magazine.
Yeah. Yes, that's a thing that happens to you
yes,
all the time,
nonstop, man.
Non-stop.
No, but I think you're right. It is. It's completely messed up, and I mean, it is. It's one of those things where there is, like, when I think about hacking and cybersecurity and that sort of thing, and I think that what we know is such a small portion of what actually happens. You know, I feel like the
we need a better word. Like, hacking has taken on such a terrible, because it means two things now. It means like, oh golly, some tech whiz is doing something bad with my identity, mm-hmm. or it means like, oh, a life hack. How fun! I'll put toothpaste on my CD and get rid of the scratches and keep my CD player going. Right. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, I'm talking about cyber, not crimes, even just sort of just you know, cyber. The cyber. The cyber, I tell you. No,
Baron is real good with the cyber.
Right, yeah. I don't know how to describe it, I guess. I don't know what the appropriate word is, but my point, and I'm trying to just use it as a comparison anyway. But
malfeasance online.
Right.
I mean, cyber terrorism.
Look, I just assume whatever, I assume that they know everything about me. I assume all my shit is everywhere and there's nothing I can do about it. And what I assume is secure is probably not, and there's probably so much more about what's happening and how easy things are and insecure things are that I could never even fully grasp it. I mean, I assume that that's almost like an entirely different universe of information that a person who isn't in that area can barely comprehend. So on the flip side, that's my point about comparison is that, yeah, I think what you're talking about in terms of the little tiny machinations when it comes to social media and Google and search and all that sort of stuff, the ways that they are doing things, not necessarily like evil and, you know, horrible across the board, but I just feel like there is so much more happening than most of us normal people are aware of.
Right. And it's not that I think it's evil. I think it's just not transparent.
Right. Yeah.
Just tell me
and
what the hell data you have. It might be evil. It might be fine.
Yeah.
Just tell me what you have.
Yeah.
And if you're making a ton of cash on it, why don't you hook a sister up?
Yeah.
Help me pay for that health insurance.
Yeah. Or just what you're doing with it. I mean,
just what you're doing with it. That's what I want to know. What are you doing with it? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't mind. I have been around enough academic endeavors in my life to know that, like, a good chunk of anonymized data is okay. It's fine. Sure. Like, in the hands of academics, just, like, see what the hell and to look at it and slice up some data and look at it. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Most newsrooms now have a data person team, like a team, news apps team, and that's great.
Right.
And you should, because then they can, like, take municipal data and look at, like, census shit and income and demographic stuff and slice it up for your city. And that's good, because that helps the public understand information better. I'm just asking the same of our tech companies, that we don't know what they're doing with our data.
Yeah, I agree.
So
it's
there are two people that I interviewed recently that I really I made this the topic of a show because I've been kind of obsessing about this. One was Jacob Silverman. He wrote a book called Terms of Service. I may have mentioned all this last week because I had just interviewed them, I think, when we had talked last. That is very good. It's all about data and privacy. It's a few years old, but it's still very relevant. And the other one is BJ Mendelsohn, who wrote a book called The End of Privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And they both have the same kind of take, like, look, we're just asking for more transparency. The next step is where they kind of differ a little bit. But I thought it was really interesting conversations with just how serious of an issue we're talking about and just how big a problem and how it does feed into social issues and class war and political issues. And it is a big problem that is weighing on my damn head.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that what they're trying to do right now with Twitter and Facebook in front of Congress, and it's just very tip of the iceberg stuff.
I think so, too. And I kind of hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't mind. I mean, one of the authors that I just mentioned, BJ Mendelsohn, his approach is, I assume everything's out there, so I live totally transparently. Mm-hmm. He gave his phone number out on the air.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, if you would like this, like he said, I have this checklist. If you want it, text me. Here's my number. And I'm like, this is right. He's like, that's fine. Yeah. It's fine. I just text me this one word that lets me know you want this. And I thought, and I, you know, afterwards talked to him a bit about it. And he was just like, no, I assume nothing is sacred.
Right.
So it's just there and I'm hiding in plain sight, which is interesting. But I said this to him on the show too, that I was like, interesting, but there may be different. It might be your ability to do that might be very different than mine.
Right.
Like, there are sexual violence issues I must consider. I live alone. If I say, like, this is where I live, come at me, bro.
Yeah, that's not good.
You know, it might result in very bad things happening to me that, you know, whatever. So.
Yeah, no, there's differences. Absolutely.
But I think it's interesting. And, it's like, well, if I'm asking for that kind of transparency, what's going to happen when it is that transparent? Mm-hmm. When it says, like, okay, this is what we have on everybody. And then everyone's got access to everybody's info. Well, there's that too.
Yeah, but you know, who knows? Maybe that levels the playing field enough too. I don't know. I mean, I don't think so, really. But
because
people have different intents, and people are some are psychotic and some aren't. So, what are you going to do?
Psychotic is fine. It's dangerous that worries me. You can be psycho and not be dangerous. Like, you can have some kind of, like, psychoactive issue.
Right.
And be,
okay. I just
you know
used,
what I mean?
I used the wrong term.
I know. I'm being really anal retentive today.
I would like to apologize to all of our psychotic listeners.
And LARPers.
And LARPers. And God knows
not
who else.
The man children.
No, fuck them.
You know, white men, again, I'm sorry. Don't come at me with the. You know what.
Oh, I do.
I've been saying, after the revolution, there's, like, a short list I have. Hupke, you're on it. It's fine. Of, like, dudes that are okay once the matriarchy takes over. It's going to be fine.
I'm on it for now, anyway.
For now. Like, some days I might put you on, like, house arrest.
Otherwise, I can keep on LARPing.
You're
after
fine.
The revolution.
Oh, God. Keep on LARPing. That's going to be, please tell me you use that title somewhere. Okay, well, as I said, it's devolved. Like, we knew it would be. We're talking about LARPing. Okay.
A lot of stuff, though, so that's
great. There's so many things. So real quick before we sign off, prediction in the week ahead. I think we will see something from the tech giants. I think there will be a little bit of fallout. There's going to be some preemptive ass covering. And I think that's going to be kind of exciting to see what that is.
I think we're going to see some major blow up from the terrorist attack in New York, which we didn't even talk about.
I know we didn't even get to that.
Which, you know, because... And again, I thought about writing this last night, but it was just I didn't quite have the energy in me to deal with this. But there's the comparison between how we responded to Vegas with a white dude with 40, 50 guns blowing mm-hmm. the crap, shooting 600 people,
yeah.
and how we react to a person who came here from another country, from former Russian area,
yeah.
and used a truck to kill 8 people and injure a bunch of others in New York, which is awful. But, you know, one is silence, basically, and, well, what can we do? Guns, freedom. And the other is, we must keep these people out of our country. And I'm like, I have a hard time with it. Anyway, I think that is going to be now, especially to distract from Russia, that is going to be used. There's going to be more push for different immigration restrictions, blah, blah, blah. There's going to be all this bluster and tough talk. And I think it's going to be really annoying. And unfortunately, it'll probably work in terms of distracting from Russia.
You know, immediately I saw that narrative, that like false flag narrative surface so quickly around that. I'm like,
everybody stop.
Just stop. Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. You random dude who like sells insurance in Kansas, you know more than anyone else in the country about this. Please tell us more about that. Yeah. Great. I'm so fascinated by that, like, armchair pontificator, like this random guy. No offense to anybody selling insurance or living in Kansas. Right. I'm just like picking two random things and stuck them together. But like, God, the one guy listening who qualifies as that, he's like, and I'm a LARPer too. What do you have against me?
And I'm psychotic, God damn it.
Screw you, Amy.
This is the worst podcast I've ever heard.
You are the biggest bitch on the earth, Guth. I'll take that. I'm sorry, dude. I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just letting you know. Like, I'm just picking stuff. But anyway, how let it occur to you that if you do not work in that area, that is not your expertise officially. Not self-appointed expertise.
Right.
But like, you might not know what the hell you're talking about. You can say, hey, I've got a theory. Great. Tell your theory. But like, no, this is what's going on. Don't do that Dale Gribble, King of the Hill shit with me.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Super.
I need facts. I need information. I need expertise. Like, sometimes people pitch me to come on to shows and they're like, because I'm an expert in this. But like, what? Okay, just because you think that doesn't make you an expert. Like, because you have a blog that writes about conspiracies does not actually make you an expert.
Correct.
You got to have some info on there, bro.
Yeah.
Bro Sidon, king of the Broshin. Bro Tato Chip. Professor. That's all the bro things I know.
Now we've offended bros.
I don't care. I'll offend bros all day. Come at me, bro. Anyway, before I offend any other groups, I apologize to LARPers again. I know LARPers. I love LARPers. Your phone's doing something crazy.
Apologies.
We got to go. This has been Guth and Upke on politics.
It's the FBI. Got to go.
It's them. The truth is out there. See you next time.